9:07. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson. Well, it's now been more than 3 months since the new fiscal year started, and the state of Wisconsin still does not have a budget for the current fiscal year. Leaders of the Republicans and Democrats have been meeting with members of the governor's staff in private to try to hammer out a budget agreement, and bits and pieces have been leaking out to the news media on these discussions, the most recent of which is Assembly Leader Mike Hipsch said that he had accepted the tobacco tax increase that the Democrats had proposed, and that produced some strong reaction both within his own party and also prompted some national attention. The speaker received a letter from Grover Norquist writing to, quote, urge you to reconsider your offer to accept a budget with a $1.25 per pack cigarette tax increase. We're going to talk about the proposed tax increase on cigarettes from both sides of that issue with two different guests. In this first section of the program, we have with us by phone Grover Norquist, who is president of Americans for Tax Reform, who wrote this letter to the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly. And then after 7:30, we'll be talking with Maureen Buzalaki, who is Executive Director of Smoke Free Wisconsin. And as you might expect, we're going to have contrasting views between our two guests. First of all, Mr. Norquist, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Certainly. And, of course, our objection to the backpedaling on the no tax increase position is not specifically the cigarette tax. It's a mistake to raise taxes, period, at a time when Wisconsin state government has been growing faster than the ability of people in Wisconsin to pay. And it just is disappointing that the Republican negotiating sort of opened with a retreat on taxes. And, of course, once you open the door to any taxes, you open the door to all taxes. And I just think it's both a tactical and a strategic mistake. The people of Wisconsin are paying too high taxes as they are. It is a high-tax state, and, of course, the governor has made it clear that what he really wants is something like $15 billion in tax increases to pay for the government to take control of your health care away from you and your family and your doctor and have it run by the state.
What prompted you to write this letter to Speaker Hipsch? You don't live in Wisconsin, and you don't really have a personal stake in what's going on here, as near as I can tell. What prompted you to write the letter?
Well, I run Americans for Tax Reform, which is a national taxpayer group with members in Wisconsin, and we urge candidates and incumbents to make a commitment not to raise taxes. About 22 state legislators in Wisconsin have made that commitment to their constituents. And we remind people, citizens of elected officials who've made that commitment and urge them to keep it. I believe all the Republican congressmen in Wisconsin have made that commitment at the national level, as has. So obviously we work in all 50 states. There are taxpayers in all 50 states. We work with taxpayers. That's why we care about taxing Wisconsin taxpayers.
One thing I neglected to do at the beginning of the program, I want to make sure I do that now, is to remind people how they can get involved in the discussion this morning. Here are two phone numbers you can use. One is a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number. And in Madison, we would prefer that you used the number 263-1890, 263-1890. You can also send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. In this half of the program, our guest is Grover Norquist, who is president of Americans for Tax Reform. Now, Mr. Norquist, you're famous for having suggested that we need to shrink government down to the size where it can be drowned in a bathtub. You don't like taxes of any kind, do you?
Well, the actual quote is that the serious goal of the center-right coalition of Reagan Republicans is to drop the size of government in half as a percentage of GDP. Right now, the government spends 33% of your income on average in the country, federal, state, and local. Third of everything American people earn is taken from them and spent by government at different levels. That's an awfully high ratio, and our goal is to get that down to 16% in half. Two ways. One, by restraining the growth of government. Second, by having pro-growth policies so that the economy grows faster than the government. That was actually happening for the last 6 years of the 1990s when the Republicans took over the House and Senate, and they fought with Clinton, couldn't agree on spending more money, so they didn't spend a lot more money. And they actually cut the capital gains tax, which gave you a tremendous run-up in the stock market and in economic growth. And so government, as a percentage of GDP, actually declined during those years. That is unfortunately moved in the wrong direction during the Bush presidency.
We're at weather time, and some people are waiting to speak with us by phone, and we want to let them have a chance to do that. And we want to talk more specifically about the cigarette tax when we come back. I'll give you the phone numbers again because there's still a line available for you, 800-642-1234 and 263-1890. We're talking about the cigarette tax and the fact that the Assembly Speaker Hipsch has agreed, in principle at any rate, to accept that tax increase as part of the compromise to try to get a budget bill passed in the state of Wisconsin. And that's what we're talking about this hour. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, websites like MySpace and Facebook are all about meeting other people. After 2 o'clock today on Talk of the Nation, how do you use social networking sites? That's after 2 today on Talk of the Nation here on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about the proposed cigarette tax of $1.25 per pack. It's a cigarette tax increase of $1.25 per pack, which is becoming part of the budget compromise between Republicans and Democrats in the state of Wisconsin as they seek to get a budget passed. The budget was supposed to have been in place by July 1st. It's now into the first week in October, and we still don't have one. And so it's become an issue of great contention within the state. A lot of people very frustrated that there's no budget yet. Politics being the art of compromise, we're now starting to see both sides throw some things on the table that they started out saying they didn't really want to. One of them being the acceptance by Republicans, or at least by Speaker Hipsch, of the $1.25 per pack cigarette tax increase. I have with me by phone to discuss this issue, the cigarette tax, Grover Norquist, who is the president of Americans for Tax Reform, and he's joining us by telephone this morning. Mr. Norquist, the cigarette tax specifically is a problem for you in what ways?
Well, it's a tax increase, and the citizens of the state are paying too high taxes as they are, and there has not been a serious effort at budget restraint or reform. Wisconsin, which used to be a more progressive state than others, is lagging in the issue of transparency. Missouri, for instance, has a pro-taxpayer governor, quite unlike yours, who has put his entire budget up on the web. So you can go up and see how much is spent. You can see the governor's travel expenses. You can see how money is spent. Now, if the governor of Missouri turned around and said, gee, we're short on cash and we have some challenges here, you might even listen to him because you can go and see how every contract, the governor of the state of Indiana puts every contract and grant up on the web so you can see if these contracts are going to his cousins or if they're not reasonable or they're getting $600 hammers. The Texas has passed a law requiring every single expenditure up on the web so you can see it. I don't mean some budget aggregate number that tells you nothing. You know, we spent $1 billion on education. What does that mean? But that tells you what the money actually went for, who got the contract. Ralph Nader and I have sent a letter to your governor urging him to do this. He has not even responded to that. He has no business suggesting that because he can't govern, because he won't have transparent books, that he should raise taxes on anyone. And, you know, they'll pick cigarettes this week and some other group that people don't like the next week. That's not the issue. The issue, he wants to raise taxes rather than govern, and that's the problem.
Well, my understanding is that every state expenditure, including the salaries of every single state employee in the state, is already available as a public record on the Internet. And as far as the state budget is concerned, that budget document is available from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau via the web, including a complete analysis of each of the spending areas and what the proposals are. So I don't know what you're talking about on transparency.
But it actually doesn't compare as well with what the other states are doing, and you need the contracts as well, and the grants to go up on the web. When Nader and I asked on this, we didn't even get a response.
Well, let's keep this on the tobacco tax. One of the things that you suggest in your letter is that increasing the tax on cigarettes would damage small businesses and the overall state economy. Why do you say that?
Well, that's actually on the tobacco tax itself. That's actually what happens when you raise cigarette taxes in one state. People will buy from Indian Territory or from other states. I think Wisconsin has a number of tribal territories that are capable of selling and don't have to pay the same taxes. So it's actually quite damaging to retailers. And they tend to be the ones that are most affected by significant tax increases on cigarettes.
What about the savings that would accrue from people being healthier and having to spend less on health care and employers having to spend less on workers who don't come to work because they're sick?
Well, look, we're not going to tax people for eating too much or not being healthy here or there. The government ought not to be in the business of running other people's lives for them. The government should raise the money that it needs to raise to do what it needs to do, but not go beyond that. And Wisconsin's taxes and spending put it way above the national average in terms of how much money is taken and spent, and you're not getting commensurate quality government for it. And as a result, this has been unhealthy to the Wisconsin economy.
We have some callers
who are not staying in the state as much as they would be if you had a healthier economy.
We have callers who want to get in on our discussion, and we're getting close to the bottom of the hour. Let's go to the phones and take a call from John in Highland. John, good morning.
Good morning. The thing of it is, you're taxing the ones that can't afford it the least. The federal's doing the same thing. You know, I'm getting sick of the Democrats and the Republicans. Now, he doesn't want to tax anybody. And old George has got us so far in debt now it's ridiculous. And if you check, there was a Republican called Thompson in there before, and he ended up leaving us $1 billion or something to that effect out. And the cigarette people gave us billions, and we peeved that away on nothing. Everything they pass is a good idea, Democrat or Republican. But the thing of it is, can we afford it anymore? They keep saying that they can't afford to pay Social Security, but I didn't notice they're still spending the extra Social Security on us. Thank you.
So you're on the cigarette tax. You're saying this is
the
a tax on people
tax,
who can least afford to pay.
The cigarette tax. The majority of the people that don't smoke go to college. That means they're making mucho dollars. The ones that flunk out of high school smoke. So you're nailing the poor devil that's just trying to make a living, and he can't afford to buy the damn cigarettes.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that those people who advocate higher taxes from 9 o'clock in the morning till noon say they're only going to tax rich people, and they're going to do it as part of class warfare, and they're going to go after people who work on Saturdays and make them pay extra because people who earn too much money are bad. Then they take a break for lunch, and then they come back in the afternoon and pass taxes on lower-income people, cigarettes being one of them. The point is, they just want more money to spend on their friends, and has nothing to do with either the conversation in the morning about class warfare or the conversation in the afternoon. They just want more money. And today, cigarettes are a target. Last week, it was guys who ran hedge funds. They all.
Let's go next to David in Madison. David, good morning. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. In light of your comments about the need for ability for people to see what Wisconsin actually spends and what it receives money on, I was wondering whether you were ready to disclose the funding for your various groups, Americans for Tax Reform and Citizens for Sound Economy. I have an IRS report that shows that actually you received over, $1,600,000 from Philip Morris. Did you receive money from other tobacco industry groups as well?
Well, two things. All of our finances are, well, we're a private organization, obviously. We're not a government organization. And so my conversation both about the importance of transparency, if I was taxing you, you would have every right to say, well, wait a minute, how are we, how is my money being spent? And that's why government should have this stuff be completely transparent.
But you get a tax break, don't you?
No, we're 501c4, sir. We're 501c4. We're not tax deductible.
Right.
You're thinking of a C3, which would be a hospital or a church or something like that.
I know what, but the point is that people who give money to you can deduct it from their taxes?
Actually, they cannot, sir. That's what I was trying to explain, the difference between a political organization, a 501c4.
The bottom line here is, do you receive money from other tobacco industry groups?
We received money from about 100,000 individuals, and who sends us money we actually don't make public because we don't need them attacked by the politicians.
Oh, I see. So, and it doesn't infer at all as to what your position is on the cigarette tax that you received $1.5 million from Philip Morris.
First, I'm not sure that's correct, but on the
I have the IRS form here.
Okay. On the other hand, what we do is oppose any and all tax increases at all time, have for 20 years, and so no, you could give us as much money as you want, and you couldn't get us to support a tax increase, and you don't have to send us a nickel to get Americans for Tax Reform to oppose any and all tax increases. So it's a nice try to do that, but it doesn't work.
We're we've got about a minute and a half left here. I want to make sure that we get to a summary. You're opposing any tax increases at all. Did you hear anything back from Speaker Hipsch as a result of your September 28th letter?
I have not personally. My staff may have. We are reminding all of the state legislators who have taken the pledge that the pledge is in opposition, a commitment by them, not to Americans for Tax Reform, but to the citizens of Wisconsin, that they would oppose any and all efforts to raise taxes on the citizens, net taxes. And we urge them to keep that pledge and also to force the governor to rein in spending. This is not a question. This is a question of, are we going to govern? Are we going to make decisions to reduce spending, to reduce the growth of spending, actually? Or are we going to dramatically raise taxes to paper over all the problems of the past and to do more? And remember, the governor has called for nationalizing your doctor and hospitals in the state and having the government take over all of this stuff, something like $15 billion in taxes that he wants to do that. So this is the
That wasn't the governor. That was the state Senate proposal, and the governor opposed it. But,
he is the governor's opposed to that side.
He was not in favor of it. I recall that from the news reports. But we're at news
state
time.
Senate.
Thank you, Mr. Norquist, thank you, Mr. Norquist, for joining us this morning. We're at news time. We'll come back and we'll catch the other side of this argument. So please hang on, and we'll get to that after this news. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 7:35. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine this week here on the Ideas Network. She'll be back on Monday. In this hour, we're talking about the proposed increase in the tobacco tax, in the cigarette tax in Wisconsin, an increase of $1.25 per pack. A number of Republican legislators had taken a no tax increase pledge, and so it was kind of a surprise to some that the Speaker of the State Assembly, Mike Hipsch, had agreed in negotiations on the budget to accept this tax increase. And he received a letter from Grover Norquist, who's the president of Americans for Tax Reform, urging him to change his mind and oppose this tax increase. We heard from Mr. Norquist in the first half of this program. In this part of the program, we're going to hear the other side of this debate. Maureen Buzalaki is the executive director of Smoke Free Wisconsin, and she joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, you're in the studio. I'm sorry. That's much better. I don't know how much of the first half of the program you heard. We didn't get a lot of direct discussion on the cigarette tax, but why don't we just start by having you outline for us why this would be a good idea if it were to become part of the budget.
This is a good idea, and we're so pleased to hear Speaker Hipsch potentially endorse this, as the governor and the Senate has as well. The cigarette tax doesn't work as other kinds of taxes. What this would do would stop 84,000 children from starting a lifetime of addiction. It would help 42,000 current adult smokers quit for good. That is enormous benefit that lawmakers can do. It's one of the strongest public health policy changes that they can make that could be a benefit not only to a new generation of kids, but can also, in the long run, help us reduce how much we're all paying for health care costs. Wisconsin has the dubious distinction of having one of the highest pregnant women smoking rates in the country. We're 37% over the national average. We need to be doing everything we can to reduce pregnant women smoking, and raising the cigarette tax by $1.25 is a step in the right direction. It's a great motivator to help those women.
What about the notion that raising the cigarette tax is really a tax on the poor, since it's the poor who do the most smoking?
The problem is that the folks who quit in the highest rates with that argument is that they quit in the highest rates when the price goes up. So those who have the least ability to pay higher prices for their cigarettes will quit in the highest rates. The other piece that we think is really important that the governor and the Senate have also endorsed, as well as a number of Republicans, is making sure that the tobacco control program is funded at the CDC minimum level. And the reason for that is to make sure there are services out there to help smokers quit. We know that about 70% of all smokers want to quit and try to quit every year. We want to make it easier for them to quit because it's obviously better for their health to do so. So we want to make sure that there's programs supporting them in that effort as well.
The phone numbers to get involved in our discussion this morning, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. In Madison, please call us at 263-1890, 263-1890. You can send us an email. The address is talk@wpr.org. We're talking about the proposed increase of $1.25 per pack in the cigarette tax in Wisconsin. One of the things that's been suggested by those who oppose this tax is that in order to avoid paying it, cigarette smokers will go either out of state to buy their cigarettes, or they'll go to a Native American reservation where the state tax wouldn't apply, and thereby avoid paying the tax and deny the state the revenue it's looking to achieve by instituting it.
We really have not seen those kinds of things happen so much. If there's any, you know, black market or those kinds of things, we need to make sure that we're enforcing our laws. In terms of, you know, going across the state line, most smokers buy their packs in one or two, about 70% on average. So you're talking about a pretty small item. It's unlikely that they're going to get in their car and drive, you know, however far somewhere else. We certainly have not seen, you know, large numbers of those kinds of things happening in other states. And the same holds true with Native Americans. And if this increase goes through, so will the cost of cigarettes on the Native American reservations.
How does that work? They don't have to pay this tax.
They have to. There's a formula that's been worked out between the state. As if they sell to non-Native folks, they're to collect the tax. So there's a whole formula that is already in place, and that formula would, you know, increase with any increase in the cigarette tax price.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. A lot of people want to get in on this discussion. Let's go first to Mike in Whitehall. Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good so far.
Thank you for taking my call. My question is this. The state of Minnesota had enacted a special tax on tobacco, which in subsequent litigation was overturned by the courts because it violated the agreement reached in the big tobacco lawsuit of a few years ago. My question is, would this not in all probability be the same result for the Wisconsin law?
No, it wouldn't. It's not the same kind of mechanism that's being used. They also were calling it something else. So this would not have any kind of impact in terms of that.
Thank you.
All right. Mike, thanks for the call. Let's go next to Joe in Menasha. Joe, good morning.
Oh, good morning. I would like to ask your guest is if she knows what was the highest position on the highest tax state of Wisconsin in the nation when Tommy Thompson was in? And then I also like to know is why don't the Democrats or the people that are for raising that tax on cigarettes and that, why don't they advertise more? Because I can turn the radio on, and it's always people that's against the taxes. And I hate to say it, but I think they're all conservative. And then I want to know, do you think that maybe because they're conservative that these organizations can advertise free? I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I don't know how qualified our guest is to answer any of those questions, but if you want to take a stab at it, Maureen, go ahead.
Well, when Tommy Thompson left office, Wisconsin cigarette tax was at 70 cents per pack, which it's at still. Since then, 44 other states have raised their cigarette tax more than 70 times. So we have very good data in terms of how this impacts other states, their economies, and their healthcare spending. In terms of, you know, exactly where Tommy was, I'm sorry, I don't have that data in front of me.
There's a popular notion out there that Wisconsin is a heavily taxed state, and this has this ranking in the top 5 or 10 or whatever it is. And I just want to make a clarification there. That's only true if you exclude the way Wisconsin taxes corporations and don't include fees and don't also measure it against services offered. It's one thing, it bothers me. I hear this on the news all the time that Wisconsin is such a heavily taxed state. Well, it's only true if the only thing you're looking at is personal income tax and property tax and sales tax. And if you don't look at corporate taxes, it really does skew the picture somewhat. And we heard Grover Norquist say it in this last caller also, and I just wanted to make a clarification there. We're going to be taking some more calls and have further discussion on this issue. We're at weather time, so we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll go right back to the phones. We've got a number of people waiting to get on the air, and we get them on, then that'll release a line for you to call. And here are the numbers, 800-642-1234. That's a toll-free number, 800-642-1234. In Madison, you can call us at 263-1890, 263-1890. And if you're on the Internet, you can reach us at talk@wpr.org. I'm John Munson, sitting in for Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's almost 7:47. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm in John Munson in for Joy Cardine this week. Here's what's coming up a little bit later on this morning on the Ideas Network. Military rulers in the South Asian nation of Myanmar, formerly known as Burma, continue their violent crackdown on pro-democracy demonstrations despite condemnation from other countries. After 9 this morning, Kathleen Dunn and her guest discussed the political situation in Myanmar. That's after 9 on the Ideas Network. This hour, we're talking about the proposed $1.25 per pack increase on cigarettes in the state of Wisconsin, and we had a guest who was opposed to that tax increase. in the first half of the program. That was Grover Norquist. In this half of the program, we have joining us in the studio Maureen Buzalaki, who is Executive Director of Smoke Free Wisconsin. We have callers who are waiting to talk to us, and let's go back to the phones, and we'll take a call from Christy and Nina.
Hi there.
Good morning. You're on.
Good morning.
Go ahead with your comment or question, please.
Yes. My question is, well, more of a comment.
You need to turn your radio off. You need to turn your radio off. Okay. You're getting the delay. There you go.
Sorry.
No problem.
Yes, I work with the lower income people in my job, under 200% of federal poverty level, and I noticed that many of them are smokers, and I find already that people won't quit based on the price. And so I wonder if you've looked at how that will impact other resources from the state, such as food stamps, such as energy assistance, because a lot of people choose to budget cigarettes first and then worry about housing and other things. And there's things like emergency assistance that they'll be coming in and needing because of, other choices. And I could see this choice being one of the, being a choice. I'll take the comments off the air.
Sure. And I think that is, showing a lot of compassion for the folks who are addicted to this product, which is why it's so important that we fully fund the Tobacco Control and Prevention Program. There's efforts within the poverty network to make sure that homeless shelters and emergency shelters are asking the question about smoking and seeing if people are ready to quit and helping them right then and there. It clearly, if you can stop smoking, your ability to have some dollars for housing or food are greatly increased. So it's really important that we make sure that as we do this, that we're careful and that we make sure that we're helping people quit as well. Because again, we know that most smokers do want to quit, and there are ways that we can help them do that. It's very difficult to quit cold turkey.
It is tough. It's been done, but it's certainly a tough road. I know personally someone who was both a smoker and an alcoholic, and he told me once that nicotine was by far the more difficult addiction to conquer. He said that there wasn't a day that went by he didn't crave a drink, but not an hour that went by that he didn't crave a cigarette. We're dealing with a very powerful drug that people become addicted to. One of the things that you mentioned in some of the literature from your perspective is that the cigarette tax could help reduce smoking amongst teenagers and those who are just getting started with cigarettes. Talk about that a little bit.
It has a major impact on teen smoking rates. Every time the price of the product goes up, we know the number of teens who get started or those who quit go up quite a bit. And that's why the tobacco industry is fighting this so hard, because they know that their new customers are, frankly, at stake. The other piece that I think is really important, going back to the other caller, to mention is how much we're spending in healthcare costs. It's over $2 billion a year in Wisconsin alone treating tobacco-related disease. And that's not to even get into how many lives are lost prematurely from this deadly product. So again, I think we need to do everything we can to reduce the rates with kids, and this is one of the most effective ways that we can reduce youth smoking.
Let's take a call from John in Boulder Junction. John, good morning.
Good morning. The income that would be generated from this tax and the programs that would be funded by it, what's going to happen if you do get a major decrease in smoking and these programs are already in place? Where's the funding going to come for those?
A couple of things that I think are important to understand. First of all, there's never been a state that has raised their cigarette tax revenue and seen it go down. So we've got lots of data, as I mentioned earlier, on that. So we know that the revenue does go up. Secondly, the cost from this goes down, and it starts pretty quickly. As I mentioned, pregnant women smokers, if we can help them quit and stay quit, the immediate costs of pregnancies in the Medicaid program go down immediately. We then start to see stroke and heart attack rates go down, which save us dollars early in the process. And then in states like California, where they've had a lot of these kinds of programs in place and higher taxes back in the late 90s, they've seen lung cancer rates drop, which is tremendous progress. And I think everybody would be in favor of reducing our cancer rates in Wisconsin.
I think what the caller is having difficulty with, and I have to confess, it's counterintuitive. If you increase the tax on cigarettes, hoping that fewer people will smoke or people will quit, how can tax revenue from cigarettes then remain flat or increase? Because if fewer people are smoking, that's fewer packs of cigarettes purchased, and that's less money being collected.
There's a pretty large body of smokers in Wisconsin. It's probably around 900,000. And so the numbers we're talking about are very significant in terms of reducing the number of people that are smoking, but you still have quite a few people that are struggling with the addiction.
Okay, John, we lost John. Let's go next to Kent in Green Bay. Kent, good morning.
Hey, good morning. I was just thinking back to the tobacco settlement that someone mentioned earlier. And I know that we as a state received, I don't know, several billion dollars, I believe. I don't know exactly the exact amount. That money was, I think, roughly 15% of it ultimately wound up being spent for what it was intended for. And unfortunately, this is the problem with most government programs. They are always mismanaged. They are seldom as productive or as the intent was meant to be. You mentioned the programs for poverty or the group for Institute for Poverty Studies or something earlier, and you can look at our war on poverty, and we haven't solved that. We've got a John Edwards out there wanting to revive that. We spent trillions of dollars on that, and we're not getting the results there. We're not getting the results that we were supposed to have gotten with Governor Doyle's. And he wanted to be, he was the attorney general who got this program, got the billions of dollars for the tobacco settlement. And then when he became governor, you know, I don't know where all this money went, but it's gone. And I'm wondering why you feel as though, you know, this would be any more effective than that, because basically quitting smoking doesn't really cost anything for anybody if they can, you know, if everybody knows it's bad, it's a willpower issue. And you can encourage people to do it, but, you know, they may not, and they may. Who knows?
Well, let's let our guest have a chance to respond. What did happen to all that money from the tobacco settlement?
Under Governor McCallum, the legislature securitized that money and then used it to balance the budget. So it didn't get used properly. In that instance, of course. But what Governor Doyle has done is really creative. And what he's done is he's taken the bonds, he's looked at the bond rate changes in the market, and has been able to free up some dollars that would basically use the master settlement as intended. And his proposal is that it would go towards the Tobacco Control and Prevention Program and also towards Medicaid to support programs to help those smokers quit. It's also, I think, really critical to realize that it's more than willpower. This is one of the most addictive substances on earth. And we know so much more about how the brain reacts with nicotine than we did, you know, 10 or 15 years ago even. And so there are better products on the market. And then there's also some excellent counseling available, because this is a habit as well as an addiction. And people have to be able to work on stopping both of them before they're successful in quitting. That's why there's only about 5% of people who can quit cold turkey. The rest of us need some additional assistance, and that's what we're promoting and supporting.
Let's talk about some, we only have a few minutes left here. There are a few points I want to make sure we get to. There are predictions that if Wisconsin increases this tax, that there will be losses in jobs and that small businesses will be hurt. How do you respond to that?
First of all, every pack of cigarettes smoked in Wisconsin costs us all $9.53. So there's a huge cost to smoking. And the businesses, I think, have to also look at what they're paying in health care costs. Tobacco-related disease is one of the major drivers of health care costs. And if we're going to get our arms around reducing health care costs, we have to reduce how much tobacco is consumed in Wisconsin. There's just no two ways about it.
As this budget debate continues, we're getting dribs and drabs of information out of these negotiating sessions, kind of controlled leakage from both sides in the budget issue. Do you have any sense of whether or not Speaker Hipsch will be able to actually deliver on his suggestion that he might go along with the tobacco tax increase?
Boy, I wish I had that crystal ball, but I don't. But I do know that he would be in good company in supporting this. I'll give you a quote from the governor, Mitch Daniels, in Indiana, said to the Wall Street Journal, "I know my supply-side catechism. A consumption tax on a product you'd just as soon have less of does not violate the rules I learned under Ronald Reagan." That's why this tax is supported by Republicans and Democrats. It's supported by the majority of voters. Our polls show, in between 60 and 70% support. People see the benefit of this because it reduces youth smoking. It'll help reduce our health care costs. And it's truly a win for everybody.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Maureen Buzalaki, Executive Director of Smoke Free Wisconsin. This program was produced by Leo Duran with on-air production by Karen Prager. And if you'd like a copy of it, you can call the radio store, 800-747-7444. Ask for program 10-4-B, as in Backo. I'm John Munson. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.